it's almost, I would say, almost tragic if you didn't come and you didn't hear this and you didn't take it to heart. More than just hearing it, but taking it to heart. Because the opportunity, as you heard this morning from Rabbi Yudit, which, again, I can't say it enough, because it's true, and that is that the opportunity that Purim affords us is an unbelievable opportunity. So once a year opportunity. Thank you. So once a year opportunity that as Rabbi Yudit mentioned this morning, and I think I mentioned before he mentioned it also, that it is a potentially life-altering experience. And I wanted just to share with you this evening how that could be so, especially in an area that we wouldn't expect it, or we never even heard of this. And it's that itself, just to hear how, just looking at Purim from a different perspective, is worth it. But if you're going to implement this, it's literally can change your life, because it changed mine. And I'll give you a little of the background. But before we give the background, I want to share a story. One of the Hasidic masters that we're going to talk about and learn about when we go to Poland is from Naftali Tzvi of Rupschitz. The Rupschitzer was from the town of Landshut. He's buried in Landshut. Yeah, he was in Rupschitz also. It is true. You weren't totally wrong. Actually, my great grandfather was from Rupschitz. He was a Rupschitzer Chassid. But Naftali Tzvi of Rupschitz was one of the great students of the Chosid of Lublin. I hope we're going to have time. We're going to be in Landshut, the town that he was a rav in, and where he's buried, actually, in Landshut. Hopefully, we'll have time to go to his kever. But even if we don't get time to go to his kever, we'll hear more about them when we're in Landshut. One of the things that Rav Naftali Tzvi of Rupschitz was famous for was actually he was known maybe the Chassid Rebbe with the greatest sense of humor, which I don't know. I appreciate that part of him for some reason. If we'll share some of his good lines when we're in Poland, not for now. But there was a couple that never couldn't have children for 10 years. And like good Hasidic Jews, you don't have children for 10 years, you go to, if you haven't already, you go to seek a bracha from the Rebbe, and he traveled far to Naftali Tzvi of Rupschitz. And we'll call this Jew, we'll call him Moshe. Moshe comes to the Rebbe and says, "Rebbe, I came for a bracha, my wife and I, it's been 10 years. So the Rebbe said to him, "Listen, I can't help you. But there is one Jew that can help you. He actually lives at the end of the forest. He lives in a little hut, and this may sound familiar from other stories you've heard. He lives in a little hut in the end of town. You find him. His name is Reb Baruch. If he gives you a bracha, then that will grant you a child." Okay, so he goes, he travels. He goes to the end of the forest, a little hut there, knocks on the door. Woman answers the door. "Yes, can I help you?" She says, "Yes, I'm here to get a bracha from Reb Baruch." She goes, "What? What are you talking about?" He goes, "The Rebbe sent me, the Rav Shitzer sent me, told me I should come to Reb Baruch to get a bracha." "Reb Baruch? Talking about my husband? Baruch?" And he says, this is the end of the forest. It's the address I got. End of the forest street. He says, "Yeah, I have a husband, Baruch, but you came to the wrong place. You're not going to get a bracha from my husband." "Why not?" She swings the door open. He looks inside. And there he sees a guy holding a bottle of vodka, and he's like sprawled out on the sofa. And he says, "This is my bracha." He goes, "You came here to get a bracha from him?" He says, "Good luck." She says, "Good luck to him." He goes, "I haven't gotten much out of him in 10 years, but okay, good luck." So this is the Rebbe sent him here. Goes in, he says, "Baruch! Reb Baruch, I came for a bracha, my wife and I, 10 years, please help us." And then he looks up. He says, "What are you, crazy? Get out of my house! Who are you? Get out of my house! You're a nut job!" He says, no, Rav Baruch, the Holy Rav Shitzer, he sent me to get a bracha for you. He says, "Get out of here! You're crazy! You must be drunker than me." He says, "No, seriously, please, just give me a bracha. Just give me a bracha that to have a child." He says, "I'm not giving you anything. Get out of my house. Get out of here." So how do you get through to drunk? Grabs a bottle, vodka from him. And he says, "Give me my bottle! I'm not giving you the bottle. Give me my bottle. No. I'll only give it back to you if you give me a bracha." Crazy. "Fine, I bless you and your wife should be blessed with a child. Now give me back my bottle." He gives him back his bottle. 9 months later, they're blessed with a baby boy. And guess what they named him? Charles. So it was a Syrian couple. Anyways, they what? None of them are here, right? Surprise, huh? It's a big surprise. Anyways, so on Purim, or right after Purim, I should say, I got married to my wife on Rosh Chodesh Elul, Tavshin and Bet, and we, after spending a week at Shavuot, so we came, moved into Gris Kolel over here, so the apartments here. We lived here for 2 years, and whenever I had the opportunity on Shabbos, when we spent Shabbos here, so I would try to go up to hear Rav Shlomo Volbe. You guys, most of you probably heard the name Rav Shlomo Volbe, the author of the Ali Shor. He was the preeminent Baal Musar of our time. And he used to give a shmooze every Shabbos afternoon at Shalosh Shuras time. He'd give a shmooze in Yeshiva Kol Torah, which is in Rehovot Pisgah. I don't know if you guys still haven't gone to Rehovot Pisgah. It's the highest street in over here in Bayit Vegan. It's best shawarma on the street is there. And anyways, and there's a big yeshiva that called Torah. So Rav Volbe used to come, used to walk from Givat Shaul, a nice walk, by an hour walk, and he'd give every Shabbos around that time. So when I, you know, we'd get an okay from my wife and we'd get someone else to walk with me, we'd walk up and we'd go to hear Rav Volbe. And it was amazing things that still today resonate with me, and I share with you guys. So I get there. It's the Shabbos after Purim, and I get there. They're still waiting for Rav Volbe to come, and whatever. I sat down in the basement there, and I pick up one of these Aloni Shabbat. You know, these, you see these in all the shuls, these pamphlets. They you know, for the parsha. So those days they weren't actually so sophisticated. They were black and white, no big pictures, no nice ads. And I pick up, and it turns out, I open up this thing and I start to read this letter, and I'm reading this letter, this piece of Torah, and I'm going, "Oh, this is unbelievable." And unfortunately it was the Alon Shabbat from the week before Purim, and I'm reading it now after Purim. This is actually the first year I was in Gris Kolel, and I read this thing and I said, "Oh wow, I have to save this for next year. Chaval, I missed it." And I'll share with you what I read. This is a photocopy of, if you guys want a copy of this afterwards, I'm happy to give it to you. You have to share it. This is what was written in this thing. I'll just paraphrase for you. I'm not going to read it to you as it is. I'll just try to paraphrase. L'mana chai v'ra'ai toshvei yirei likwud ne'ram yiru la'ola be'emes einim minaroi yukhal v'chal l'vob mi'uchtav yisorus l'anashim shem t'omen impamim yimisparah aval la'os akar s'tol kotel shvei yirei likwud shichiz kuni v'eis tochkai amar te'arusa dvarai eila aleichem arusa l'anos mizel yavo v'yene. Could you believe this? I was blown away. So the next year, That took a long time for you guys to get that. Okay, anyways. What the letter says basically is a fellow who lives in the city of Lakewood, you may have heard of, it's in New Jersey, not the one in upstate New York, where Camp Morasha is. This is Lakewood, New Jersey. And he writes, I want to share this with you, to my friends in the neighborhood, something that I've had a practice of doing over the last number of years, and it's been a tremendous help, assistance in my life, and I want to share it with you. It says, you know that when it comes to tzedakah, when you have to give the mitzvah tzedakah, so this generally, you want to give a mitzvah tzedakah, so you investigate whether this person is really worthy of your tzedakah. Okay? Tzedakah is an investment, like any other investment. Someone comes to you and says, listen, I got this amazing deal, $10,000, come, invest in this thing, it's gonna, you'll double your money within the year. So you're like, sounds interesting, let me look into it. Right? You're not going to just all of a sudden put $10,000 down. You're going to look into it. Your tzedakah is an investment. Maybe even a great investment than the money you invest in the market. So if you're putting in good money, you want to make sure you're getting good return for it. You want to make sure it's going to the right person who really deserves it, because that's a greater mitzvah. Now a guy stops in the kotel and you go, whatever, you don't have the patience over the time. You don't, right? So you give him, what do you get? You give him a shekel, you give him a 5 shekel. Right, so you're not going to necessarily look into it in a serious way, because you don't have time. But if you're talking about giving serious amounts of tzedakah, which you guys already should start thinking about, those of you going to earn money in the summer, you're going to earn $1,000, $2,000 in the summer, you should give $100, $200 in tzedakah. So where do I want to invest that money in? What's worth it? So we have a concept of both knacharah. This is a din in Shulchan Aruch. You're giving tzedakah both knacharah. You check into it, you look into it. However, the din on Purim is, you may have already heard this from your Rebbeim, that the din on Purim is kol haposhe yado no sinlo, that whoever sits, brought down in the Mechaber, whoever sticks out their hand in Purim, it's in the Rambam, in the Mechaber, whoever sticks out their hand in Purim, you give him money. You don't ask questions, you don't, it doesn't make a difference who he is, he could be Bill Gates, He can be the wealthiest guy. Also, Jews and non-Jews, by the way, according to most, doesn't make a difference. Anyone sticks out the hand and says, "Please, can I have? Give me some money. I need tzedakah. Give me some money." Call a post yellow know some. You give him. You don't ask questions. You don't look into the matter. You give him. There's also a mitzvah of matan se'avyonim, right? You also want to make sure that you do give money to get to the right people. Also, but beyond that, there's a call a post yellow know some love. Everyone gets, no matter who they are. It's like the Masa scholarship. Okay? It doesn't make you deserving or not deserving. You get $1,000 on Purim, whoever sticks out their hand. Maybe you walk on the street and I recommend you do this. I told the guys in my chair, go out of the little dollar amounts you have here, because not too many people come here. You can't get past the guard here anymore. Does it come in and ask for tzedakah? Okay? So you might want to step out of your little comfort zone over here and walk around. Maybe to Rehovot Pisgah, if you haven't been there yet. Get a shawarma, and then you'll see people will come to you. Little kids will come to you and ask you for money. They'll be smoking a cigarette. 8-year-old kid, puffing on a cigarette. I'm not joking. And I'll say, can I have money? And it's not the time to give them a whole lecture about, I'm not feeding this habit of yours. It's Purim, it's none of your business. You know, he's going to smoke the cigarette, and he wants to buy another one. You give him the money. It doesn't make a difference. Any kid, no matter who they are, they stick out your hand, you give him. Called post yadnasimla. So it's brought down a number of svarim, mostly chassidish svarim, based on earlier sources, that the same din, it's a mida keneged mida, just like called post yadnasimla, just like whoever sticks out their hand you give him. When it comes to us and the aniyim, so is it with us towards the Kadosh Baruch Hu. So too, when we can turn to Kadosh Baruch Hu and stick out our hand and say, Kadosh Baruch Hu, give. Give me. And whereas during the rest of the year, just like during the rest of the year, we look into it, we check up and we say, is this person really worthy of tzedakah? Let me see your tudah, let me see your tax returns, let me see the letter from the welfare department. You look into it whether the person is really deserving of it. So too with us during the rest of the year. Of course, person HaKadosh Baruch Hu can answer us and all during the rest of the year as well. we should turn in daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu then the rest of the year. But then you stick your hand in, you go to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I really want that car, that sports car, give it to me, I want it, I need it. So he says, one second, who are you? What's your story here? Let's look into this a second. And the Bezen Shalmala sits and he goes, the guy maybe makes it to Minyan twice, three times a week, and now he's asking for this. Right? Marev, hardly seen a Marev. Can't sit through a whole Seder yet. Whatever the cheshbon is. He's not nice to his roommates. Whatever the cheshbon is, they look into you and bokeh acharav. And say, no, it doesn't deserve it. Not worthy. Lo ro'oi l'kach. It's not fitting for this person. Or it's not good for him. They look into it and say, no. However, on Purim day, kol haposhe yad nosim lo, it's an unbelievable thing. Whatever you ask for in Purim, you're given it. Now, it sounds like a very nice var, and it is. It's a nice thing to say over your Rebbe's Purim Suda, maybe. But actually, what he writes here is that there are people who realize this is more than just a nice Dvar Torah, nice thing to say over. They actually live it. And he writes here, and so it's been my practice over the last number of years, that at night, I go to sleep early the night of Purim. Okay, for you it's Thursday night. I don't drink, I don't get wasted, I get up early, and I first at Marev, the first night I daven before the Megillah, I daven and I ask for things. And then in the morning I get up early, I daven Vasikin, and I pour out my heart and ask for things. And then again at Mincha. And I say it in my own language, whatever it is, the things that I need, things that are bothering me, things that I need help with. Everyone has things. Everyone has their own things. And so this has been my practice the last number of years. Myself, another chevra here in Lakewood, and we have a Vasik Minyan, we do this, and I can tell you from, I'm just sharing with you that whatever we've asked for within a short time after Purim, we were granted these things. I can say for myself and for those people around me. This is what he writes in this letter. I'm reading this letter, I'm going, missed it. I never heard this idea before. So I took this with me. The next year I was in Gruskola. I went to Rabbi Miller. I said, Rabbi Miller, have you seen this? He says, yes, known thing. I said, would you mind if I I'll translate it to English, I'll post it on the bulletin board, and we make a minyan here, Vasikin. He says, it's a great idea. We never had a Vasikin minyan here in Grus, in the Kolal here. Let's do it. So we did it. We had that year, we had a Vasikin minyan. It was a very infamous day, actually, in Israeli history. It was you may have heard of a fellow named Baruch Goldstein. He went into Maris HaMachpelah. It was that morning, Purim morning, Shushan Purim. Shot off 30 Arabs in Maris HaMachpelah. Whatever, it wasn't such a pleasant... But when he was doing that, we were having a Vasikin minyan here. It was about 50 or so. It was BMT was here at the time, and the Gruss guys. And I can tell you that I was married a little bit under 2 years at that time when we had the second minyan. Year and a half. And whatever, there were certain complications that we had in terms of about having children. And 9 months later from Purim, November, Yudal Cheshvan, my oldest son was born. And there was another couple that also was davening that minyan, and they had been married for 5 years and not have children, and the same week that my son was born, they had a daughter. And ever since that year, 21 years ago, ever since that year, this is what I do. I daven Vasikin. I don't drink at night. I don't get drunk. I don't go. Daven. Daven Marav. We hear Megillah. We have a Chagiga. And that's it. And go to bed early, as you know, a reasonable hour, get up early, go to bed sleeping. Every year since then, 20, 21 years. And I could spend the rest hour just telling you one year after the next. I asked for this, and this, and this, and it happened. You may think that I'm exaggerating, but I'm not at all. But there's no question in my mind that if this yeshiva has had any success, certainly in terms of numbers of guys that have come here, it's as a result of tefillah and Purim. No other reason why guys would come. Not just mine, I'm going to say my tefillah is, all the Rebbeim do this. Everyone does it today. So the main minyan here is Vasikin. Now, again, I can go on and tell you, you know, many different things that have happened in my life and that I've been blessed with different things that were needed clarity, whether it was on something materialistic or something spiritual. And through the Tefillah of Purim, and tomorrow you have a fast day. But there's no afternoon Seder, there's no night Seder. And Thursday you also have time. And you take this time to actually make for yourself maybe a little note card. Don't put it in your phone. Write pen and paper. You can find pens if you haven't seen one yet. And write things down. Things that you want, that you need. Could be some of you, and I know there are some of you here that parents need a refuah shleima, and grandparents need a refuah shleima, or relatives. There are people in the room here who want to come back Shana Bet and facing an uphill battle, their parents. These are things. And I can tell you over the years how many guys have, you know, told me, yeah, it's unbelievable. You said, Rabbi, not what I said, this idea we share with us. Yeah, it happened, this happened, this other thing happened. It will change your purpose. Change your life, potentially. And I'm not saying this as a Olshan's saying this because he just doesn't want just to get drunk at night. It's not it at all. It's not why I'm saying it. I'm saying chaval to get drunk at night because you're going to miss this opportunity. But it's not why I'm saying it. I'm not telling you this Torah. This is something that I just and generally I don't like to repeat shurim. I don't like to things. I try every year to say things that I haven't said the year before, and this is one thing that I say every single year. Since in the last 20 years I gave over the share every year. You can look on, you know, there's no reason to record it because it's already been recorded, it's already on Why You Torah, it's the same share. Nothing, no big solution here. But it's an unbelievable opportunity. Question is, you may be asking yourself, is why? What's the point? Like, why is God doing this for us, granting us this opportunity? Why specific to Purim? You know, why don't we get Tzvi'os answers all the time? So we tried to explain a little bit Kol HaPosh Yado, this concept that exists on Purim. It's a Mida K'neged Mida. And by the way, what I do on Purim is that I fill my pockets with coins, and I make sure that no one ever walks away from me without getting something. I daven in a Vasikin minyan every year, a same minyan. There's probably 100 guys that walk through that minyan asking for tzedakah. You know, from the time we start davening till the time we end. I don't know when they're davening, but that's what happens to that minyan. And I fill my pockets, and every single guy that walks by, I make sure I don't run out of money. Because I'm frightened. If a guy comes, and I give him out 100 shekels already, and another guy comes and says, so I left somebody empty-handed. I left him empty-handed. He came, and I didn't give him. I don't have. But I don't want anyone to walk away, because it's mida k'neged mida, right? So I'm making my business to go and to make sure I have enough money on me, and whatever it takes, that's what I'll give. So the mitzvah tzedakah And to be, and now the idea here also happens to be, it's not so much, the mitzvah of stuck on Purim is not really so much about you know, what you're giving them. It's about creating a sense of camaraderie and love and friendship. You probably heard this already from other Rebbeim. But the idea of these mitzvahs is to create a sense of achdus amongst Jewish people, and that's what we're trying to do. But you see, one of the things that we have, and one of the reasons, one of the things that holds us back from Atzilus being answered the rest of the year, is that you need two things, two very fundamental things. And this is also brought down in Sfarim. Moshe Weinberger talks about this a lot. You need two very fundamental things. And this is one of the things that Baal Shem Tov taught the world. And that is, in order for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to answer your tefillos, you need to believe, Aleph, number one, that there is a HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there's a God in the world, and I'm talking to Him, and I'm praying to Him, asking Him, right? And that He listens to tefillos, He's a Shomea tefillah. And then, second thing, which is the harder thing, and that is that He listens to me. To me. That I actually matter. Not only He listens to the tzaddikim, okay, Chaim Kanievsky and Yerushalmi Zalman Auerbach and these tzaddikim, okay, but me? Me who, you know, who is not consistent in getting up in the morning, and me who maybe sometimes says words that are totally inappropriate, and me who still thinks about girls when I'm davening? Me? He doesn't listen to me. So listen to this unbelievable story. There's a tzaddik lived in Borough Park. His name was the Ribnitzer Rebbe, and he used to daven late, as some chassidus rebbes were wanted to do. But he was very machpid that when he would daven, he would get a minyan. Maybe one of the worst jobs to have was actually be his gabbai, because it was the gabbai's job to gather a minyan whatever time he felt he was ready to daven. He had to go find the minyan. And it wasn't just a minyan. He wanted to get a minyan of people that hadn't davened yet, which is the real way of having a tefillah b'tzibur. He needed 10 people, or 9 others, that had not yet davened. 8 others, including himself. 8 others that haven't yet davened yet. It's not so easy to find that in, you know, let's say he's in Borough Park, and then all of a sudden the Rebbe says at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, okay, I'm ready. Okay, get a minyan. 4 people that haven't yet davened shacharis, you know, and are going to admit it. You know, so whatever, it was an easy job, and it would take a while. So there's a guy who is unloading something from his truck, and he says to him, hey, are you Jewish? He said, yeah. He goes, have you davened yet? He says, no. He goes, okay, join us, the Ribnitzer Rebbe, he's looking for a minyan, it'll be a big schuss for you. Okay, I have some time before my next delivery. He goes, he fishes under his things in the front of his whatever that thing is called in the truck, and he takes out this pair of tefillin, and he goes into the shul. The Rebbe walks in, looks around, and he turns to the guy, this truck driver, and he looks at him and says, you can't be here. He says, why? He goes, you davened already. He said, did you daven already? He said, yeah, I mean, I didn't really doubt it. I just, like, you know, wrapped it on, wrapped it off. I said, he said, then you downed already. You just go. So he was like, wow, like he was blown away. Like the Rebbe knew he downed already, like, but he didn't really daven. So the Gabbai follows me. He goes, I asked you if you downed already. Why did you come in if you already davened? He said, because I didn't really think that my davening was. I mumbled some words. I was in such a rush. I put on my tefillin and took off my tefillin, and I was in such a rush, I didn't think he really... He says, but you know, this is the greatest day of my life. If the Rebbe was able to tell that I had davened, and I thought it wasn't anything, that means that a Kadosh Baruch Hu is machshev with my tefillos, even though I'm so rushed, and I don't really have proper kavanah, and wow, that's unbelievable. Kadosh Baruch Hu is a Shomea Tefillah. He's not only a Shomea Tefillah to the Tzaddikim. He's a Shomea Tefillah for us, for you and me, us little nothings. He listens to what we have to say. And we have to believe that what I say matters in order for our Tefillahs to be Mekabel. So what happens? Because a lot of us have experience. We've been davening for things for a long time. And seriously, we've had relatives who were sick, and we had this that happened, and we had, you know, the hockey team tryouts, and we were making cuts, and whatever it was, and we daven, and we really wanted this up very much. And we've been disappointed many times. We've been disappointed. We feel like, you know what? Okay, maybe he's a Shomei Tefillah, maybe once he was, maybe once he will be, but come on. Me? I don't remember. I can't recall last time I actually had my tefillos accepted and I got what I asked for. So come this one day of the year, I'm Purim, and the opportunity is to realize that actually HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a Shomei Tefillah to you. But the interesting thing is that, what time is it? The interesting thing is that it's hidden. The Chiddush HaRim teaches us that this Koach of Tefillah that we have on Purim, which is maybe unprecedented in terms of the rest of the year, the Koach of Tefillah we have on Purim, it's hidden behind the Bible. And many of us don't realize the Koach that we have. Just like our Rav Baruch in the beginning, that story, Rav Baruch, he didn't realize the koch that he had because he was so consumed with his bottle of vodka. Says the Chiddush HaRim, that's what Purim, it's hidden. It's another Hester, it's another something that's covered up, that's hidden. And we have the opportunity to tap in. If you follow this suggestion, you get a good night's sleep the night before, you get up early, you daven 5:27, you start, and you say, like, maybe during the rest of the year, even those people who come to Minyan, how many of us come to Minyan on time, where we can actually say the brachos properly, say karbonos, maybe Yom Kippur was the last time we did it for some of us. So, get to davening at 5:15. Say the brachas properly. Say everything properly. Say karbanos. Say psukim zimra. Maybe even, you know, with the pace of drus. Maybe, you know, to actually say some of the words. Six o'clock is Netzach Hama, and then you go about your mitzvahs of the day. You daven and you ask, and have that list of things and ask, and then go about doing the mitzvahs, Mishloach Manos, Matan Savyonim, and you go into that suda, and it'll be the most amazing suda you ever had in your life. You'll walk in feeling that this was a meaningful day already. Even if nothing else happens to me, I've already felt like this is a different Purim I've ever experienced in my life, or maybe any other day experienced in my life. And you go into that Suda, and then it's mitzvah to drink, you take your bottle, whatever you want to take with you. I would suggest also to wait, daven mincha first. Most of the Sudas are not going to start drinking until you daven mincha. 12:20 is the earliest time you can daven mincha. So you start the Suda, you'll have a first course, second course, you fill your stomach, which is good. Drink water, fill your stomach, and then stop for mincha. Let your heart out, tears, whatever it takes at mincha, and then you start to drink, and it will be the most amazing experience you'll have in your life. What you will have set yourself up for, which I've already shared with some of the guys, and maybe you heard it from Rabbi Yudin, spoke about it this morning, and from the other Rebbeim, you will set yourself up for the experience of such clarity in your life that even though we all know that we are a soul that has a body, we will experience it and live it, and it will be so obvious to us that it will bring more tears. It will It'll make you rethink everything. What am I doing with my life? How I've been living my life till now as a body with a soul, not defining myself as a soul with a body. And what does that mean now? That can potentially be your experience if you play it right. Now every year guys sit in the shir, and guys don't come to the shir, whatever the case may be, and they say, alright, it's a nice idea, it sounds cool, but they can't resist the urges that then they see other guys drinking in Purim night, and they do it as well, and they have a nice chagigah, they have a fun time, right? And you know, and it's good dancing and it's good, it's fun, but then they knock themselves out and they miss minyan the next day. And whatever, and then it's just it was nice, and they have a nice suit or whatever. They threw up that night, threw up during the day. They have good stories to tell, nice stories to tell to the guys, you know, the next year. But in terms of like real tachlis, real growth, real something that lasts, they missed it. You don't want to be one of those guys who just has a good story to tell. Better to keep the stories to yourself. And you know for yourself how your life has changed and how things that you wanted so badly were granted to you. Questions?
Hey.
Yeah.
Why do you think I don't
want to? I get it.